I'm going to be teaching this morning on Forget Not All His Benefits, Psalm 103. So please turn there. So Psalm 103 is a psalm of David, a man after God's own heart, and it was an absolutely great psalm when it was written, but I think in our administration, when you take some of the words that are written here and apply it to our grace administration, it even really just lives bigger for us when we do that. So Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So we're not being asked to remember everything, right? Because it's literally impossible to remember all the benefits, all the rewards that God has given unto us. And I'm not sure about you, but my memory isn't quite what it's up to, what it used to be, you know. I don't know if this happens to you, but I walk into a room, I'm like, you know I came in here for something, but, or even worse, when I'm working up on the third floor of some job, I go down, open the truck, I usually put things in like a little Lowe's bucket, I fill up the bucket with like five, six things, and then I go up the stairs, set it down, and go, you know, I forgot the one thing that I actually went out to my truck for. So, but that's just me. I know none of this would ever happen to you guys. No. So bless the Lord. Bless is to praise or to be thankful, to show gratitude towards. It's actually, that word is translated to kneel down. So I will tell you, when you really, really get to know God, and get to know what he has done for you, all the benefits that he's given to us through his word, through his son, through just who he is, you will figuratively and probably sometimes literally drop to your knees in thankfulness. And here David is saying that you could do it with your soul. The soul is also translated your life, your mind, your heart, your desire, and your appetite. So pretty much it just encompasses everything that is within you. And it says that, you know, it's your blessing is holy name, and we're not to forget all his benefits. And forget's kind of an interesting word. It literally means to mislay or ignore something. And it also could be translated to wither away from lack of attention. Like if someone gives you a plant and you forget about it, you forget to water it, it just withers away. And that's what happens when we forget his benefits. They just kind of wither away, and they just, and it's a slow process, right? It's not overnight, and all of a sudden, you're like, wow, you're like, where's the joy in my life? Where's the peace? So David is asking us to not forget them all, to remember them. And at one time, I had this thing where I just like really was into praising God. And one of the things that I endeavored to do was to make my last thought of the evening on God my first thought in the morning on God. So with that in mind, turn to Psalm 92. And verse 1, it said, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. And then Psalm 118, verse 24. And I love this. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That is a choice you make. And I love texting this out to like my sisters, or I love like shouting it in Linda's face because she's not a morning person. So I'm up and about and she's in bed, and I'll just like shake her and go, "Behold, this is the day the Lord hath made. You will rejoice and be glad in it." She's just like, "Get out of here." So I was thinking about this during my teaching. So I always like to practice what I preach, of course. So on Friday night, I went down and put my little head on my pillow, and I'm thinking of all the great things and praising God, and I'm going to teach on this. And I got myself so revved up, all excited, I couldn't get to sleep. So hopefully you won't get the opposite effect either if you do this. But that's what happened to me. Okay, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So when we see the word all in the Bible, we also have to ask ourselves, is it all without exception, or is it all with distinction? So this is all without exception. God doesn't give you just one little thing just to keep you humble, just to show you like who's boss in your life. He wants you to be healed from all your sicknesses, your illnesses, the mental, the physical, the peace, the anxiety, the fear, the worry, the doubt, everything. And in our administration, Jesus Christ took care of that for us. So can you guys turn to Isaiah 53? Not too far from here. Okay, Isaiah 53:5. This is talking about Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. And 1 Peter, you don't have to go there, I will quote it, chapter 2, 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It is a done deal. And healing can be kind of a tricky thing, because we all have issues. I've got issues. I know you all think I'm perfect, but it's not true. I'm telling you right now. There's things in my life that have been there pretty much my whole life I would like to see gone. And, maybe that's me, maybe that's all of us. But here's the thing I want to say about healing, is that God is the God of hope. Never give up on your healing. There are examples in God's Word, historical instances of people that developed issues for years, for decades, and they were healed. There were people that were born with an issue, with a physical thing or whatever, and they were healed. And God is the God of hope, and he's the God of comfort. And until you receive that healing, he's able to strengthen you and comfort you and guide you. So, if that's not enough, this life is temporal, to say the least. I mean, I can't believe how old I am. 45. Who could believe that? It was just like yesterday. It says put offline. Okay. So it goes by fast. It goes by fast. And there's a great verse in Romans 8. It says, "For I reckon or consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." We are all going to get new bodies. And I'm not sure about you, but I think most of us are past our physical prime. So it's like, we like to think sometimes, you know, the weekend warriors that we can still, but no, you know. But we'll get to some other things about that later on. So, okay. Forgiveth all thy iniquities, healeth all thy diseases. Verse 4. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. We've been redeemed from destruction. You know, John 10:10, right? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, right? Destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So we have an adversary, and his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. We have a Savior who redeemed us, and his job is to show us the more abundant life. So who are you going to listen to? The adversary, and I mean, his job is pretty simple. He just wants to make your life miserable. Mm-hmm. And he wants to suck the joy right out of life, have you focus on all your problems, all your issues. He wants you to condemn yourself, and he wants you to feel sorry for yourself, and he wants you to think that he's in charge. That's the big one. Well, guess what? He's not in charge. It's God in Christ in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and sound mind. We always have to remember that. We resist the devil, and he flees. He has to flee. You know, we're aware of the wiles of the devil, but, you know, we have the armor of God, and that's what we do. So, and we do not fight a fight that's already been won. Jesus Christ said, it is finished. It's not our job to say, you know, I think I just might have to add another little thing. No, it is finished. You have been redeemed. You are free. You are whole. So, from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. And so crowneth means he surrounds you as something that surrounds like protection. And the loving kindness and tender mercy, I mean, it's pretty self-evident. You know, God just loves us. He shows us his tender mercies. It's just who he is. Verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So, satisfied means to fill up, and renew is to make new or rebuild. We know that Bishop Pillai teaches that there's a certain eagle in the Orient that gets rid of all his old feathers by soaring real high, and then he dives down, hits the water, and all the dirty things that are inhibiting him from flying gets washed off as he plunges in the water. And then they just grow back nice and new and fluffy and brand new. And that's a wonderful thing. And God, I think really what this verse is talking about is that, quote a verse in 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You know, our outward man perishes. We're all getting older. But the spirit inside you allows you to keep that youthful enthusiasm, that youthful vigor, that youthful joy in your life, especially about God's word and the things that are important to God. And it doesn't mean we can be immature forever. That's a whole nother thing. Immaturity can actually be kind of fun, but in small doses. So, but that's the thing. We cannot lose our enthusiasm for God's word. And I tell you, we have some great examples in this fellowship. I don't know what the cutoff age is, so I won't name anyone. I don't want to insult anyone. But a lot of us fit in there. But you know, some people that their age, I mean, it's just, you would never know that they're that old because they have that youthful exuberance, that renewed spirit in them. So, verse 6, the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. So, executed is accomplishes righteousness. We know he's done that through Jesus Christ. And judgment is a favorable verdict. We have been judged righteous. And all that are oppressed. Oppressed is something that pushes down on you. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just kind of feel like the weight of the world or the weight of stress or the weight of my job, whatever, is just kind of pushing down on you. But one of the benefits is God, of God that we're not to forget, right, is that he has accomplished our redemption from that. He has healed us from that. He's made us free from that. Verse 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So turn to Exodus 14, please. Easy to find, Genesis, Exodus. And chapter 14, verse 13. So, if you know anything about the children of Israel, I mean, they needed deliverance, right? They cried out to God, and he delivered them. And he laid everything out there. All he wanted for them is to be delivered, to be healed, to go to the promised land, to enter into the rest that he made available for him, them in Canaan. But they had other ideas. And verse 13, it says, and Moses said unto the people, so they got out of Egypt, and then all of a sudden they came to an obstacle. And the obstacle was the Red Sea. And they had the Egyptians behind us and the obstacle in front of them. So what do? So they said, they cried, and they said, it would have been better to go back. Here we can't, how are we going to get over this obstacle? And that is the nature of mankind. In forgetting God's benefits. They get to this obstacle and they're like, I don't know, God, this is like too much effort, too much work. I almost feel like I'm just better in, you know, where I was. I don't have to work. I don't have to stress of that. I'm just going to, you know. But that's not God's heart for his people. He always wants to deliver and heal. So Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. So what was their job here?
Stand still,
and do what else? Fear not. Is that difficult? Basically, he told them, don't do anything. Don't be afraid. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So that's what we always have to remember. God is with you. He is fighting for you. And so is Jesus Christ. He's our advocate in heaven right now. He is there on our behalf to take care of us and to plead on our behalf. So that's what we have to remember. And unlike the children of Israel, we have to always look forward. Their problem was they were always looking back. Always have to look forward, and not when we hit these obstacles, that's when you're going to see God's deliverance. That's when you're going to see the power of God in your life. Okay. The Lord, verse 8, is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous. What's that?
Psalm 103.
Well, sorry, we're back in Psalm 103. You can't read my mind? I mean, what's wrong with you people? Psalm 103. The Lord, verse 8. We did a verse 7 with Moses and the acts of the God showing his acts to the children of Israel. And now we're in verse 8, and we got to keep moving because we have a lot more to go here. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And merciful is compassionate. And graciousness is only used here of God. And he's slow to anger. He has patience with us, which is great. We need patience. We need that patience with ourselves. We need that patience with other people too. And plenteous in mercy. Verse 9, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. So, I don't know about you, but I had no idea what chide meant. So, I looked it up. And it means to always be quarrelsome and like to always contend with, to debate. And in today's vernacular, it means that he's not always on your case. You know? God's not always on our case. And he will keep forever is really what it reads. And the word keep means to hold a grudge. So it really means he will not hold a grudge, right? God forgives and forgets. One of our many benefits. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, thank goodness, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, how high is heaven above the earth? Ever just think like, what would happen if I got in a spaceship and just kept going? Like, where do you end up?
You keep going.
Right? I mean, is there, you just keep going? That's insane. I can't think about stuff like that. My head's going to explode. But that's the analogy. That's the metaphor. That's how far that his mercy is. So great is his mercy toward them that fear or respect him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Okay, so if you picture a globe, the earth, right? North to south, you go north, you get up top, what's that called?
North Pole.
Okay. You go south, what's the bottom part called?
South Pole.
Okay. You go west, what's that called?
West.
You go east, what's that called?
East.
Do they ever meet?
Never.
What's that all about? You know, that's what we have to be thinking. That's a benefit. They never meet. That's how far. They're just non-existent is, you know, what he's saying. They've been removed. Verse 13, like as a child pitieth his children, and pitieth means to love deeply or have tender affection. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him or respect him. I mean, we have great reverence for God, and he just loves us with a love that is just so amazing. It's really kind of hard to comprehend. We could try, but you know, and that is definitely a benefit of God. For, guess what? He knoweth our frame. We're not hiding anything from God, you know? He's the one that formed, made, and created us. And that's what he did. He formed man out of the dust of the earth, right? For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Okay, so we're to remember his benefits, or not forget all his benefits. God remembers, like, what we're really capable of. Like, you know, he knows what to expect. He knows how we are. So we have to kind of like raise our expectations with God, because his expectations are, you know, what he knows we are to be, which is kind of, you know, frail. Okay, verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know of it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Turn to 1 Peter 1:24. Okay, 1 Peter 1:24. There we go. Okay. So let's start in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth how long?
Forever.
That's right. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Turn back to Psalm 103, please. I said it before, this life is temporary. You know, we're just, anyone have a garden here? The flowers bloom, and then unfortunately, they're gone. We're all going to die. This life is temporal. I hate to, you know, hate to break the news to you, but in contrast to that, God's word liveth and abideth forever. It endures forever. And that's what we always have to keep our focus on. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. This is talking about the mercy of the Lord being everlasting and everlasting. And also his righteousness to children's children. You know, it's Mother's Day. It's kind of great that this kind of passes through the generations. And that's one of the joys of teaching children. Linda's down there with the kids, and there's other teachers in this room. There's moms. There's people that have a motherly influence on people. And, I mean, that's just a fantastic responsibility, and it's a fantastic privilege that people get to do that, and that people have been the recipient of that. So it's wonderful. Okay, verse 19, we'll go to such keepers comes to those that remember his commandments to do them. Okay, yes, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. So that's what we're encouraged to do here, to not forget his benefits and to remember his commandments, which is his word, his precepts to be exact. The Lord hath prepared or established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. God is God, and he is powerful. He is the creator of the heavens and earth. Don't be fooled. I mean, there's going to be a time when a lot of people are going to be surprised, and you know, but we are saved from the wrath to come. So that's our God. Okay, bless the Lord, ye his angels. So it starts off with blessing, praise, thanksgiving, gratitude towards God, and this is where it ends. Bless the Lord, ye his angels. That word angels is messengers. It actually means, it just means messengers. Those that are sent. It doesn't necessarily mean like the spiritual angels. So, and that excel in strength. And the excel means to be mighty. It's used a lot in for warriors, for soldiers, like they're mighty, mighty men of God. And they excel in strength. Whose strength is it? Right? God's strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's our mantra. You know, God told Moses, raise the staff. You are the one that, you know, manifest God's strength, God's power, God's spirit in your life. That excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Hearkening means to listen to the point of obedience. We are to listen to the point of obedience to God's word. That's our strength. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts. His host is, again, it's usually used for like a group of soldiers or warriors, but it's also used for an organized group. So I know we are an organized group. We are the Philly Bible Teaching Fellowship. Yoo-hoo! Ye ministers, and minister here is one that serves. And we all serve God, right? And then you that do his pleasure is his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, all the deeds of God, in all places of his realm or rulership. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So we have many benefits from God. Do not forget all of them. Remember them and manifest the more abundant life.